141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of international football. Life after the Euros begins for Scotland with a Nations League visit of Poland to Hampden. Steve Clark says it's all about evolution, not revolution. What level of change will we see? Will things look different? And how will we go about it after the summer's disappointment? On the club front, Danilo and Rabi Matondo are left out of Rangers' European squad. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's a big period for Scotland coming up, and Steve Clark in particular. You know, from now to the end of November, when this Nations League campaign gets underway, three tough fixtures. That's what you get when you get to Group A, starting tonight against Poland. But I think the main interest is, what's the shape going to be? Is it going to look different? And is the personnel going to look different? There's a few inclusions in there that didn't go to the Euros, few exciting players in there. Will Steve Clark try it out, or will he go for much of the same that we saw in Germany?
I think most of the fans going along to Hampden tonight, Gordon, to support the national team, will be looking for a little tweak. I think everybody is now over the disappointing Euros, and I think it's now to look forward. As Mark quite rightly said, there's one or two new faces in there, young faces, guys that have been waiting patiently maybe to get an opportunity. Is this the night for that opportunity? So it's up to Steve Clark. I'm going to be really interested to see the style of football, the formation, and who's going to play.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So are you heading along to Hampden tonight? What is the feeling? There's clearly not the same sort of optimism and buzz and feel good factor as there was before, but these Nations League campaigns have been good to us in the past. We've actually been very, very good at the Nations League in recent seasons, albeit in a higher bracket nowadays. So how do you feel? Are you heading along? It'd be nice to hear from you if you're heading along to the game tonight. And what do you expect to see? Whether you are watching on TV or heading along, how much change can realistically take place over that summer and over a couple of days that the players have been back together? So what would you like to see? Would you like to see four at the back? Do you want to stick with three at the back? Everybody wanted Lauren Shanklin to lead the line at the Euros. It's been a tough start to the season for Hearts. Do you want Lauren Shanklin to lead the line tonight? Or is it Lyndon Dykes? Or is it Tommy Conway? Or is it someone else? Pick one for us. What does your team look like? What are you expecting? And no, things were a bit doom and gloom after the Euros, but you need to give us some solutions. We're all good at picking problems. What about the solutions? Where does it go from here? No Callum McGregor now, so what does the team look like without him? All your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. Do you think there's any secret that there is just a bit of a malaise, maybe an apathy, whatever? But you don't get any choice. You get, these are important games. Eventually that will just have to kind of be parked, and you know, the team certainly have to crack on and try and get back on the saddle.
I think it was because we all hit such of a high, going to Germany, and then the disappointment, and it seems like it's been a long time, but what we're talking about is it only maybe 2.5 months, something about 10 weeks since that Hungary game, but it seems like a lot of time's passed. And players have dropped out the squad. You're right, there's maybe a wee bit of a disconnect at the minute, but again, I think it's just from what was built up to be such a special summer, but it's ended in such a letdown. But it could be much worse, let's be honest. We might not be in this group, but you know, imagine we were playing some of the so-called minnows. So there is,
and
still
coming off the back of a summer where we didn't go to, yeah, to a major tournament.
So we're playing some quality sides. It's going to be difficult, but you look at the individuals in some of these sides, we're getting some world-class players.
Yeah, it'll be nice to touch heavily on the build-up to the game. We'll go to Dave Galloway at the National Stadium in the not-too-distant future as well. Gordon, on the club front, some interesting stuff coming out of the Euro squads today. So Rangers have submitted their squad for their group stage. No Rabi Matondo, went off injured at the weekend, and no Danilo. And he apparently has been pictured at Glasgow Airport in a knee brace. Reports are that it's not a long-term injury, and Rangers do still hope to have him available semi-soon, but he's not in the European squad, so he now can't feature between now and in the end of this group stage.
I think we were all surprised at the weekend because he scored against Ross County and you think, right, that's him, back to full fitness, full of confidence. He's looking forward to challenging Dessers for that number nine jersey. And then at Celtic Park, when Rangers are well behind, you don't see him at all. And you start to wonder what's going on here. Matondo, obviously, I think with the hamstring, I think they've looked at that. I think he tried to play on for 10, 15 minutes, but obviously gets subbed as well. It's a bit of a blow for Rangers because it's another two players they could certainly be doing with. They seem to have their fair share of injuries, but I feel for Danilo. I think he's stop-start career at Ibrox. One minute you think, right, that's up and running. He's come in with a big price tag, Gordon. Everybody's looking forward for him to get a run of games, challenge Dessers, maybe even tweak the system and play with Dessers sometime to see how that goes. But unfortunately for the boys, just it seems to be one injury after another.
Okay, 01419511025. Rangers fans, I'm almost certain you'll want to give us your thoughts on that. No Rabbi Matondo or Danilo in the European squad. What do you make of it? Give us a call. Of course, we will start with the Scotland game this evening. So let's dive straight in with Tony, who's on the line. How are you, Tony?
Not too bad. How are you doing, guys?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking tonight, then?
Thinking I'm positive tonight. Poland play quite an open game, don't they? So I'm hoping for a few goals. Just head along to M8 with my daughter at the moment.
So you've not had your spirits dampened too much by the summer, then, by the sounds of it?
Oh, guys, we're Scottish. We're used to it by now. Always got to be positive. Come on, let's not put a negative on it. Always try and think on the positive. Yeah, it wasn't a good campaign, was it? But we got there. Everybody had a good party. And so you just got to look forward now. I'm going to be interested to see what the team's like tonight as well. No Callum McGregor. How do you think that'll shape up?
Good question.
Yeah, I think McGregor will be a big miss. He seems to be finding great form and finding the back of net for Celtic now. But listen, he's retired. That's his decision. He's been absolutely brilliant for Scotland. It's time to look forward. I'll be interesting to see how he goes tonight with the middle of the park. I think he's got a few options in there. Ryan Christie's playing particularly well with Bournemouth. I fancy him to play. But how he just structures that, whether if he goes with a four, Gordon, if you go with a four, it'll be interesting to see what he plays in front. The three's quite easy because you get two wing-backs, then you can sort of play a box in there off the midfield and one up top, whatever you want. But if he goes with a four, I think he's going to need a bit of width. So it'll be interesting to see how he does replace the likes of McGregor and that Gilmore partnership in there.
It's a big deal, Mark, because Callum McGregor always played for Scotland and started all the games, really. Having said that, if there's one area of the pitch that you've got other people there, it would be that. So, as Gordon says, the favourable lineup going back would be Gilmore and McGregor next to each other with McTominay and McGinn in front of them. Is it as simple then that stays kind of like that, but Ryan Christie just comes into there somewhere in the absence of McGregor? Or are we ditching the back three? Is it a back four? Are you now not playing those four central midfielders?
I think it will be a back four. I just don't see the merit of, you know, Kieran Tierney's out the picture just now. Why persevere now? I know Scott McKenna came in for the latter stages of the Switzerland game, was it? And he looked okay in that respect. But, I mean, you're just shoehorning him in there. We decided on that system to get those two players on the side. So,
but did it then develop, though, as also a nice way to get all those good central midfielders?
Possibly.
Because I know that was like the first trigger for it. But thereafter, it obviously did work.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you could be right in that respect. But I think with McGregor now going, me personally, I think McTominay, Gilmore, I think Kenny McLean, if he's fit and able to play, might fill in there. He always was the first sub to come on. Steve Clark liked him. But then you've not got much width, and that would be the worry going forward if you play
so
a three in the midfield.
What does it look like in front of that?
I've put Christie and McGinn almost just in behind Dykes. But then you lose out in width. But you've got Robertson, you've got Ralston, two players who play attacking for their club side. So it's not flaunting them what you're asking them to do. So that would be my team.
Tony, can you see drastic change, or is that just too? Is that a bit of a fantasy when you look at, you know?
I think so. You've seen what he's done in the past, and I can't see him changing it. I'd like to see Christie coming in tonight. I think he deserves his place. He's playing well. It'll be interesting to see who plays up front. I think he'll probably stick with Dykes. But I would like to see Shanklin get a start, you know, see what he can do from the start. I'm bringing him on as a sub. But time will tell.
Yeah, what about the number nine, so to speak? I said it at the top. Everybody who called this show wanted Lawrence Shanklin to play at the Euros before the Euros started. Then once it started, they wanted him to play more and start the next game and so on. Does that change, given that not all his fault, clearly, Hearts have had a slow start to the season, he's been part of that. Does that change your thoughts on
it? Yeah, it does.
It does?
It does, 100%. And plus the fact, you remember, Dykes didn't go to the Euros. I think he had played a big part. Steve Clark likes Dykes. He's had a big money move to Birmingham. I'm one of Shanklin's biggest fans. I think he brings so much, but he's not, like Hearts, not had a great start to the season. He just needs that goal. Every striker, I'm telling you, the start of the season, the quicker you can get that first goal, the better your season goes, because you just kick on from there. Lawrence Shanklin's no different. You know, he will be looking, thinking, I need a goal quickly, because the rest will come, because he's got terrific talent. He's a terrific finisher, the lad. But tonight, I think, depending on the shape, Gordon, I think Steve Clarke will look at the shape and think, right, OK, how are we going to play? Have we got the midfield players? Because you're missing one of the best passers in the game, in McGregor, in the middle of the park. I know we're strong in there. So he might go a little bit more direct, and if he does that, he'll play Dykes for a bit of height, bit of strength, whatever it may be. But it's just who he plays off him. But I've got a funny feeling they'll go with Dykes tonight.
I agree. I've got Dykes down. Purely because of form.
For Lawrence Shanklin, in the sense that... So let's take that fateful night against Hungary. If Scotland had played the next week or whatever, everyone would have clamoured for Shanklin to play, wouldn't they? And he possibly would have. Even when he came on in the Euros, everyone always commented that he looked sort of...
Yeah. Usually in international football, that is the case. You're judged on your form, your club form. However, Steve Clarke is a bit different sometimes. He does play people who are out of form for club because he knows what they've produced for Scotland. That might be the only way, in my opinion, that Shanklin gets in. But I think a fully fit Lyndon Dykes is someone that Steve Clarke really likes as an individual, but also for the team, like Daz says.
Yeah, well, enjoy the game, Tony. Hope you and your daughter... have a good evening at Hamden. 01419511025 if you want to join in. Let's hear a bit from the manager, Steve Clarke. He says he believes in evolution, not revolution, and hopes that that can bring an upturn in fortunes.
It's important, and I've mentioned it before, is that we respect the core group that have managed to qualify for back-to-back European tournaments. But then within that core group, you have to try and add a little bit more, and hopefully we can add something that makes us better. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen across the two games that we're going to play now. But I'm looking at this campaign in the Nations League and thinking this is the chance to try and evolve the group so that when we do get to the World Cup qualifiers, we're in a better shape, ready to go again, and ready to qualify for our third tournament out of four.
Is that inevitable, that it's going to be slow, but by the other token, is that going to be something that frustrates fans? I feel like after the Euros, everyone just wants to see something different. But the reality is, Steve Clarke met back up with this group of players Sunday night. He's not going to suddenly got, like, you know, different players, different formation, everything looks totally drastic. And as he says, everybody acknowledges how annoying the summer was, but we're in this Nations League Group A because it actually has been a period of quite success. So whatever we've done, maybe didn't work at the Euros, but relatively speaking, it has worked to the point that we now are in the top Nations League
section. Yeah, but football's such a horrible game, Gordon. Forget about everything that happened in the past. It's all about what happens now. And if Steve Clarke gets off to a poor start...
No, I get that, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm asking you, seriously, what can you implement from Monday to now? I'm not saying you can tell me, educate me who doesn't know how easily these things can be.
I don't think many international managers can implement many things in a short period of time. I think it's gradually over years, and international managers probably get the luxury to spend their time over years. So I think you're right, your point, that if it is going to be a new formation with a new style, well, it's very unlikely. I know I've put 4-3-3 tonight, but that's not a big departure from what we've seen in the past. But in terms of style of play or just this new outlook, very difficult because you don't get much time with the players on the ground, do you?
Yeah, and plus I think Steve Clarke's got to rely on the experience and the professionalism he's played. You look at two of our big players tonight, Gilmore and McTominay. They've been involved in a massive transfer in the last couple of weeks. You know, they've been travelling, they've been obviously trying to organise everything like that. So their mind hasn't been 100% focused on the game against Poland. So all of a sudden, they're the same. You'll get players that have been playing at weekend, getting back in Monday. Everything in Monday will be settling down. Steve Clarke's just got to rely on these players, get the best formation, get them out there and get them playing.
And also, to really state the obvious about international football, more than anything, you can only really work with what you've got in front of you. And people maybe wanted to see Ben Doak. Can you start Ben Doak when Ben Doak has played no football? So that squad still doesn't have loads of width in it. Lewis Morgan's in, James Forrest's in.
Yeah.
You know, so again, is there scope to change things drastically?
I think those are the two. James Forrest has been there, done it. Steve Clarke knows he can give width and play in a wide area. Fits into his system. He'll know the players. Morgan showed up well, I thought, in his wee flashes. Maybe it'd be a long shot, but who do you leave out then? You put those two in, you've got to leave out one of McGinn, Christie, McLean, Gilmore, McDominay. That's a hard call.
Let's bring in Craig and see what he thinks. Take it away, Craig.
Hi there, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Good.
Gordon, one mention. I loved your interview with Sam North, with Mr. O'Neill and Mr. Souness.
Oh, they were good company, I have to say. A couple of legends.
Yes.
Just like these two, to be fair.
Same
sort of a record in football. Same CV. Anyway, Craig, I like sticking the boot into them, but they're my pals, so I better not go too far.
Right. On Scotland tonight, I hope they do well, and I think the expectations have been raised by better performances over the last few years, and maybe we need to realise that it's not always going to be that easy. And I think Gilmore and McTominay moving to Napoli has just shown a sign of the fact that we're actually raising the level of the international players that we've got in our squad.
Yeah, and forever that will be the every international team faces this balance, but maybe particularly us, the midfield is so strong, and you look at the level they're playing at. Philippe, we've now taken it for granted that John McGinn captained Aston Villa to a top four finish. They're going to play in the Champions League this season, as Celtic know, and have started the season well. We have elite players in a number of positions, and then there are a number of positions where we're miles away from elite. And you don't need me to name them, because it's not about being harsh on those individuals. But, you know, we've got a couple of English Premier League right backs, Aaron Hickey, you can't get him fit. Nathan Patterson's not fit. If it is Lyndon Dykes tonight, he has done a brilliant turn for Scotland, but with the best will in the world, Lyndon Dykes is now a League One in England striker. So is it just trying to, again, make that team be a team, I suppose, rather than
that's all
those
you
individuals?
You've got to find, when Steve Clarke gets his 11 and decides what his formation is going to be, he's got to get the best players that fit into that formation. Now, if he's going to play with a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2 or 4-1-4-1, whatever it may, or even 3 at the back, he has got to pick the best players, whether they're playing at a top level or not, to play in those positions and feel comfortable. There's no point playing them out of position. Yes, you can get away with guys like Tierney, because Tierney is a top, top class player. But if you're going to succeed, and especially if you're Scotland, we have got to play as a team. We've got to play as a unit. I think Steve Clarke's quite good at that at times. Now, he's brought in guys like Doak. He's brought in He's got options now to get wide areas with wingers that we didn't have. We were always 3-2 wing-backs. Midley Park was a strong area. Christie off a centre-forward. He's now got the options to change that. And I'm so interested to see what he does tonight with that.
I think on the notion of expectations, Mark, that's clearly what this all comes down to, because you're allowed to demand better from the summer. I think we all agree. How much do you let that overshadow the sort of progress that has been made? Maybe people do. Maybe people want to say, no, well, we're now a team that reaches competitions and we need to be doing better, and that's the end of the story. Or for other people, they say, well, We've only been in two, so you know, maybe once you get there a bit more, it just, it's bound to be a personal preference.
Well, I think there's an expectation now. Once you get to two, you want to get to three, then the next stage is obviously qualifying out the group. And this is, it's a slightly different scenario for us, this Nations League group. That's why I hope Steve Clarke isn't judged harshly on this. This is like an elite tournament.
Yeah, but you get the feeling he's going to be.
I do get the feeling he's going to be, just because, you know what, all stems back, I think, just to that Hungary game. The set-up and how we approached it, that 190 minutes, in particular, those last 10 minutes. And you think,
if you score in the last 5 minutes, well, this Nations League campaign
becomes easy.
Completely
because you really get a free hit at it. But you've got Poland, Portugal and Croatia, three world-class teams. And I think
you wouldn't, like, it would never be a disgrace to not beat these teams.
Of course,
But the pressure is kind of on at the same time, isn't it? That's just how football works.
Purely because of the way the Euros ended up. We went with such optimism, we came back with such disappointment. Managers just get such a hard time, and he's going to be judged.
He needs a lift. Let's be honest, right? You're right. We're playing against top opposition. Let's not be kidded here. But the fans need a lift, mm-hmm. Gordon, because they've been waiting for this. Germany feels like about 6 years ago. It's been that long. So everybody's been disappointed. They're waiting for this game. They'll turn up in their numbers tonight. They're looking for a little bit of something different. Mm. Look, we are Scotland. We know that sometimes we don't get it right.
Craig, what? Is there anything in particular you want to see, like a new player come in, or you know, something changed that you're looking out for?
I think Shankland needs to start playing up front.
So you're not put off by the start to the season?
No, I think he should be up front because he scores goals. There's no denying that. Nobody can deny that he scores goals, regardless. And he's not playing in the top team in the SPFL, but he still scores more goals than any other striker. So to me, that's a no-brainer.
If you're looking at a proper nod to trying to build something, is nobody mentioning Tommy Conway? Nobody interested in that?
Sorry. Yep. Tommy Conway is a cracking player, and I'm actually disappointed that Rangers never managed to sign him, but he's meant to Middlesbrough, and he'll probably tear that league up. But I think Shankland, just for his experience...
Don't put it by Steve Clarke. He might just throw a little spanner in the works tonight. He might go with someone... You know, that we are not sitting here thinking it's got to be in that starting 11. That's the way Steve Clarke...
Like Forrest, he's told me Forrest out the squad, and I'm saying he could play wide.
Is Forrest? I thought Forrest was out.
Yeah, he withdrew from the squad, didn't he? Yeah.
Aye, so I was talking. I'm quite being right.
I didn't even notice.
I'm thinking Stevie Clark's next to me is doing a good job here.
Forrest. Oh, yeah, Forrest in.
Play Forrest in.
Oh, will be a surprise.
But wait till you see when Tierney runs out. he'll be going on me. I'm looking, thinking, I've got this wrong here tonight.
I'm glad I'm here. I know.
Well, thanks to Craig. 01419511025. We'll be getting closer to team news, so give us your suggestions if it's before that. Give us your reaction if it comes after. And if you want to talk club football, you might be on about Rangers Euro squad, some of the injuries there, or anything else at all. Now's a good time to get in touch.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. We're building up to kick off at Hampden, Nations League against Poland. I think a lot of the deflated nature of the conversation in the studio is coming from the fact that these two are still scarred from sharing a room with each other for 12 days in Germany.
Hold on.
There's a lot of good memories.
Good memories as well. We had some good nights.
We had some good nights.
Just cosy in the room.
Exactly.
But all those guys were out. So we went for a Burger King, remember?
You've had to erase it from your memory, a little bit, parts of it.
Do you know, it was funny. I was speaking to somebody in the office tonight. It feels like a year ago.
I totally agree with you.
It's unbelievable. And it's only, what, a couple of months? But we're all over it now.
Our highs and lows.
We had some good times and bad times.
We did. We went for a haircut, remember? We did it all in Germany.
Yeah. And then that fox slide that's been put out tonight again.
Fox slide?
What'd you call it? The foxy thing?
The flying fox.
That's
the name of the one at the safari park.
I'm not sure we're calling that.
It's a zip slide.
Just a zip line, I would say.
It's called the fox. No, it was called the fox.
Was it?
Yeah. It's called the fox.
I think it's only called the Flying Fox at Blair Drummond. Have you been there recently?
I'll guarantee you that's called the Fox.
The one the Olympic Stadium's called the Flying
something Fox.
Fox.
No, no, I'm not saying Flying
German,
Fox.
What's German for Flying Fox?
It was a Flying Dazzler. I've not got to say that. But it's something Fox. You look that up, I'll guarantee you.
We really are cutting deep into the important issues here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's bring in Graham, who's on the line. How are you, Graham?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad. Are you going along tonight, or... what's
well,
the plan?
I'm tempted to miss it and go on a Flying Fox after that chat.
Go on a Flying Fox, great.
Nice.
Let's give it 20 minutes, see what the entertainment's like. Are you, what are you expecting?
Expectations versus reality. I think, to be honest, most of us after Germany are a bit downbeat. Be very honest, I don't know how we're going to... I don't know if the team's been announced yet or where we're at tonight. I suppose I'm a realist. Looking back, I think if you go back to the fixtures before we qualified, the only real time we turned up was Spain. I put this in a group chat midway through the campaign saying, look, we've got the air through more fluke by design. Norway was an absolute robbery. So I genuinely don't believe Clark should have stayed on. I don't know why he stayed on. We've not heard a single peep out of him after the campaign. We then had his wee rant about the referee, which seems to have went unnoticed. Again, I would have loved to have heard why there was never anything about that. Looking to tonight, we need to change things. We've obviously persevered with this back five to try and accommodate Tierney Robertson, which I get. You've got two great players. You want to put them in your team. We're struggling for right backs. And again, accounting for Hickey, Patterson weren't fit for the Euros. Yeah, these things happen. What I'd like to see is a bit of desire, a bit of forward thinking tonight. Do we try a bit of a 4-3-3? Do we have the personnel? I don't really know. Bringing in Gold again, I feel like Clark's kind of felt he kind of had a bit of pressure to kind of bring this guy in. He should have been brought in years ago. It's a bit of an embarrassment. I thought Clark should have went. I don't know who would ever replace him. But I think easily what could happen in the next 3 months is we could go into the end of the year with 6 defeats if he doesn't change things. But I don't know how he changes it.
Therein lies the problem. Needs to change things. I don't know how he changes it, though. Mark, we said that there are certain areas. This is where there needs to, just even if it's 5% of sympathy for Steve Clark. See, going in tonight, if you thought, right, let's just, you know, throw Ben Doke in, you can't really, can you, when he's not played any football? No. So if you want to really change the look of your attack, right, you want to really play with wide players, you need to play 32-year-old James Forrest, which again is not against that. But it's, look, have I got his age wrong?
No, he's not in the squad.
He's pulled it.
So
I mean, going forward though, they're not crying out with wide options is what I'm trying to get at. Lewis Morgan, again, maybe, and at right back, it is what it is. It's either Anthony Ralston, who is nowhere near first choice at Celtic, or 20-year-old Max Johnson, who's uncapped and plays for Sturm Graz, sometimes starts games, sometimes comes on. So the desire to change it versus the realistic options you've got to change it. What is that? What's that balance like?
I just think that everybody's screaming for a tweak somewhere along the line. Need a spark. We keep going back to the disappointing Euros, and of course, but they're gone now. Got to look forward. This new campaign, he's brought in some fresh faces. I'm with you, Gordon. If he's going to go with a back four, I just don't know where he gets his wit from, because you mentioned, will he throw in Young Doe? I don't think he will either. Gold's there, he's not been capped. Look, sometimes you've got to take a chance in these guys. These guys can step up to mark. I thought Lewis Morgan at times, when he came on the pitch, I thought he looked very, very sharp indeed. So if you're going to go with that back four, then who's going to be your wide area player, right? You're going to just depend solely on your two fullbacks and let your midfield play very narrow and hope you get the width from Ralston and Robertson. Now, Robertson will certainly give you up and down the left-hand side, and Ralston's the same, because Ralston's a worker, he's a willing runner. But I just don't see that. I wouldn't be surprised if he stuck with about three. I'd like to see the four, but I will not be surprised if he goes.
Well, I think people are let's do it. Let's go to Dave Galloway. Dave, how are you? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I am great. Thank you, Gordon, very much. Looking forward to this one. Of course, Scotland captain Andy Robertson has been speaking of his desire to make the Tartan Army fall in love with their national team again after the massive Euros disappointment this summer. The team lines have just dropped, and I can tell you Scotland will start with Angus Gunn. Then there's Anthony Ralston, Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, Grant Hanley, Scott McKenna, John McGinn, Billy Gilmore, Lyndon Dykes, Ryan Christie and Kenny McLean. One or two surprises in there. The subs, John McCracken, Xander Clark, Lawrence Shankland, Josh Doig, Connor Barron, Ryan Porteous, John Souter, Ben Doak. Then Lewis Morgan, Tommy Conway, Ryan Gold. He is on the bench. We thought he might perhaps have been starting. And also, the same applies to the last named sub, Max Johnston.
There are, Mark Wilson. I think you predicted that
brilliant
team. No?
Spot on. It was good of Dave to read them out in random order, though.
So no, that's the order that Scotland have announced.
My written team.
He does have it bang on. So that is a back four, the avoidance of doubt. So Angus Gunn and goal, a back four of Anthony Ralston, Grant Hanley, Scott McKenna and Andy Robertson. So there is a change there. For everyone clamouring for a back four instead of a back three, it is there. What the makeup of this midfield looks like is maybe a bit more difficult. Billy Gilmore will certainly be a deeper one. You've got Kenny McLean, so again, a deeper one. And then John McGinn, Ryan Christie, Scott McTominay and Lyndon Dykes up top. So what do you think that looks like?
Like that could take on a couple of different forms. That could be a 4-2-3-1 with Gilmore and McLean sitting at the base. It could be Christie off one side, McGinn off the other, and McTominay in behind. You could swap all the three about. It could just be a flat 4-3-3. So we'll only tell when we got on the pitch. I was thinking, would it be madness to put McTominay back into a back three? I can't see that happening at all. If he was to just be stubborn and stick to his formation from the Euros, but it certainly looks to me that that's a back four. The rest, who knows which form.
It's definitely a back four. It's just trying to work out where he's going to fit McTominay, McGinn. Christie can play anywhere along the three. He can play in the right, middle.
He interestingly plays deeper for Bournemouth quite a bit as well.
And by the way, he's having a terrific season, let me say. But is anyone surprised with Kenny McLean? Because Kenny McLean's a big favourite, Steve Clark's. Mark Gorrit's spot on. I'll give him credit for that. So it's a big night for him because usually he comes on off the bench. He's always called upon. So he starts tonight. Good opportunity for him.
What it does tell you, Mark, is Steve Clarke is trying undeniably to keep a bit of consistency and continuity. There is no random debut for Ryan Gold yet. There is no debut yet for Max Johnson. He's not thrown in, you know, Tommy Conway for a first competitive start, none of that stuff. That is, it's about as close personnel wise as you would expect, but he has changed to a four at the back.
I think it proves he understands how important the game is for himself and for the team involved. He was talking about evolution of the squad. That can take on many different forms. That could be evolving into a different shape, but with similar personnel. I think when people hear evolution, they think of some of these young guys are maybe just going to come in and break into the side and it'll look totally different. But he's obviously went for a different way. What the interesting one, Dykes over Shankland. I think that tells you a lot about the style. He has got plenty of energy around Dykes and I thought we got a lot of success, particularly the Spain game. I know a caller mentioned that before. That was the only game we turned up in. But we got a lot of success through playing that way on that evening with McGinn and Christie and McTominay. A lot of legs to get up and support.
Are you surprised about the two centre backs? I said that in the office tonight, I thought you'd go with Hanley. I know
you did.
Henry, you get Porteous, you've got people like that.
Henry's not on the squad.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Porteous.
Well, right, I'll give you one.
Porteous.
But I've got to say, I think Hanley gives you that bit of experience as well. McKenna gives you the balance. So the two centre backs, for me, look okay. Robertson, willing runners down the flanks as well. It's just how he's going to fit the tactics of the midfield, I'm desperate to see.
Right, what do you make of that team? Is that the right team? Would you have done something different? Are you annoyed at the perceived lack of change? Or actually, when you think about it, is it understandable given the sort of other options that are there. You tell us. 01419511025. Let me run this past you first. Julianne from Hamilton was on the school run. A stressful part of many people's daily routine, yeah. Right? Not great. When she got the latest Make Me a Winner call and won £90,000.
You'd rolled in the window.
Are you actually kidding? Jackson, you've just won £90,000! Oh my god!
It's really.
Oh, I can't believe it! This is the wind up in it! Thank you so much!
Honestly,
that's the reaction you want.
That would be incredible, honestly. She's planning to put down a deposit on a new house, take the family away on holiday, and now, if you want a bit of that, you could be the winner of £100,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. You need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. And if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away and the £100,000 would be in your bank straight after the call. It's a guaranteed winner. Somebody will win the lot. If you want it to be you, text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here an hour until kickoff at Hampden. The team is out. It is a back four. There is a change in that regard, but it's a lot of familiar faces for Scotland. Anthony Ralston, Grant Hanley, Scott McKenna, Andy Robertson, Billy Gilmore, Kenny McLean, Scott McTominay, John McGinn, Ryan Christie and Lyndon Dykes. Did I miss someone there? Is that only 10? I think I got them. Who knows?
We're that good, we can play it too.
Let's bring
Forrest.
In,
get Forrest back
let's
in.
Let's bring in Tommy in Irvine. How are you, Tommy?
I'm not in Irvine, I'm in Glasgow. I'm
just sorry, Tommy. You're going to the game?
I'm going to the game anyway, aye.
That turn-off's a nightmare. I bet it's queued back.
It's queued right back.
Murder.
If I come off the 77.
Honestly, nothing worse. Anyway, what'd you make of the team?
Garbage.
What would you have done different?
Mm. Kenny, for me, Kenny McLean shouldn't be anywhere near. No disrespect. The boy got a bit fortuitous. It's like the previous caller said, robbery in Norway. For me, Kenny McLean's an empty jersey in a Scotland strip. And another one's Grant Hanley. He's a big cart horse. I'd play McTominay at the back of the night only because Poland are an intelligent team. And they will pass through the boot. You need an intelligent player at the back, and he's no it. Sorry. For me, it's no evolution, it's regression. And I know we're going to be a big experience, but it's pure regression for me. In my
see,
opinion.
In fairness, though, right, see if you do that, right, that your solution is put Scott McTominay back there. Is that not regression? Scott McTominay played in defence for Scotland 4 years ago. He's not a defender. And see if that team got named. You might not, but everybody else would phone in and say, square pegs and round holes. Look at this, sticking Scott McTominay at the back. The guy was the top scorer in the qualification campaign. He's at his best for Scotland when he's arriving in the box, and we've stuck him at the back. Clueless. But you want him stuck at the back?
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes we've got to look at the squad and think, why are these people still about? For me, Steve Clark's giving two fingers up at the Tartan Army because you were all there in Stuttgart. I was in Stuttgart. At half time, we needed a goal against a mediocre Hungarian team. And the most foreign players, on form, attacking players we had, were on the bench. Shankland for Hearts, Forrest at Celtic, and we needed a goal, and he didn't bring him on. Mm-hmm. In fact, he brought Lewis Morgan on, who wasn't even in his original squad. I think not. For me, I'm looking at his squad. There's guys like Lewis Ferguson and that he come back in, and Hickey and Patterson, young boys. I'd have went with Conway as well with Shanklin tonight. You know, we need to try something different. And this is the time to do it. No, before we go to a World Cup qualifying campaign. Dating this.
Well, he is trying something different. He's going to back four.
I think this is the thing. We said this. That this is not to say that Tommy's right. Tommy's wrong, by the way. This was very, very predictable, all this. People just want change. They just wanted change. And then when you're sort of pressed as to, as an example, I don't necessarily disagree. You might not think Grant Hanley should play in that back four. If it's not Grant Hanley, it's Ryan Porteous, right? So is that enough? Is that enough change to really excite you? Maybe Kenny McLean. What could have been done different there? Could you bring a Ryan Gold or something? I know that they don't play the exact same role.
Yeah, first and foremost, I disagree with Tommy 100% on McTominay. He's going to Napoli. He's not going to Napoli as a centre-half.
Steve Clarke would have been crucified if he'd played Scott McTominay at centre-back. 100%.
So, listen, we all have our moments. But Kenny McLean, for some reason, I'm not the greatest fan, right? I think he's a decent enough player, but I'm not the greatest fan at all. But Steve Clarke is, and Hugh always says, a manager should have the right to manage. And he sees him in the few days that he has with him, knows him inside out, being at every squad, always brings him on if he's a sub, always gets him on the pitch. He's decided to go with him tonight. Maybe you could have looked at that. I'm interested to see how this is going to develop in the middle of the park, because I think we've got a lot of good midfield players in there, but I don't think McGinn likes to play in and out in the right hand side.
To be fair, he actually does for Villa sometimes. For Villa. You know?
Yeah, but I think when you're the important player,
yeah.
And I know he is an important player, but he's got magnificent players round about him in Villa. I don't think McTominay wants to do that job either. Is he a sitting midfielder? Christie's playing his best football with Bournemouth just now. He's got good players in there. It's how he fits them in the system. I don't know until I see the game, but it's how he's going to... We know Gilmour will sit there and get on the ball. That's his job. We know that for a fact. But it's how the rest... Who plays off of Dykes? Who's the one that's going to go beyond Dykes? Is it Christie, because he gets pace and the timing and everything they run? Is it McTominay, who can get there as well? Or is it both? We don't know yet.
Who should take Kenny McLean's role here? If Lewis Ferguson was fitting in the squad and Callum McGregor hadn't retired, you've then got even more midfielders, and then the inclusion of Kenny McLean probably gets more criticism. You know, but that's too fewer in that area.
Yeah.
Stuart Armstrong's always in squads. He's not in this squad. So what?
Everybody seems unhappy
at Kenny McLean being in the team. So who should play instead of him?
Solution to that would be you're dropping McGinn back into that area and playing one of the forward-thinking players, if that was a Doak, a debut for him, or it was a Gold. Yeah. But again,
you can't start Ben Doak, can you? It doesn't play any football whatsoever. I mean, from a fitness perspective.
I think this is what we're going to get. And you're right in saying, it's not to say Tommy's wrong with us, but we said the last 20 minutes in Hungary have led many people to think this all needs ripped up. And Tommy says, why are these guys still here? Because that's what we've got. You know, you can't. Where else are you going to go to get a group of players? It's taken us a long time to amass a squad who have got a number of caps behind them. And to be fair to Steve Clarke, he's got Doak there, he's got Gold there, he's got Doig there. So he's got new players, Max Johnston as well, coming through, who've got very little experience. So he's got a decent mix here. But you can't just throw everything away.
A tweak he could have done, and I'm just looking at it. You're talking about Shankland, right? I'm a big Shankland fan. I think he's been terrific. Now, if you get him on the side, you could have left McLean out and dropped Shanklin in just behind Dykes, because he plays that role for Hearts and he's a clever player.
I don't think you get away with that in international football.
That's the thing.
He's a clever player.
You know how we all feel about him, but that's what I mean. This notion that we need to go forward and kick on and take our international team to a new level. Is Lawrence Shankland an international number 10 that takes Scotland to the next
level? No, but what I'm saying is, if you're going to leave McLean out, what else do you do? I'm trying to answer the question.
Tommy, it doesn't sound like you've got much hope for tonight.
Well, I still say there's a role for Shankland. I agree with Gordon, because he does a lot of great hold-up play for Hearts as a 10, and I think that would work for us. Again, I get the thing with McTominay. They've made a great move to Italy, the two of them. We're going to see how important Callum McGregor was to that team. We're going to miss that tonight, and that's an unfortunate thing. But the man's in the form of his life and who with Celtic, so I'm winning it. It's a win-win for me in that respect.
Well, you're right, and Callum McGregor will be a big loss, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired, and again, that's just something else that everybody has to deal with, so I don't know what the perfect solution is to that yet.
Well, international managers, a unique job that you get this falling on your doorstep every now and then, an influential player saying, right, that's me, I'm off, and you need to bring through the next batch, or you need to rely on someone else. But you're right, Gordon, you touched on it. We're very lucky that we've got good midfield players in there. Some of them Maybe not to McGregor's standard, but we need to forget about him and move on.
Thank you to Tommy. Enjoy the game, Tommy. Lots of people heading along, so get in touch if you are. I mentioned to Jake and Stefan who are heading to their first Scotland game. It's always, they're going McTominay first goal. They fancy it. Jake and Stefan, they think it's going to be a good night. Always a memorable one, your first night. So hopefully the guys enjoy that one. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to humiliate Mark Wilson or Gordon DL and win yourself a signed ball. Another good win for Brian Graham last night.
he was in bragging. He was buzzing.
What was your score?
I was quite comfortable. 4-1 well, maybe.
I've not watched
like
this week. Tuesday night.
You went on Tuesday?
Easy peasy. Motherwell derby as well. I says to the lad, I'll throw the ball out the window at you. He lives just up the road.
So he did. Anyway, 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here on 01419511025.
For the best football news and opinion online.
Oh wow, this is good.
We're not even on screen now.
I've got
you've no idea what if anybody's watching.
Because you two asked for a cup of tea.
we can't
do two things at once. But I think we're back on 01419511025. Of course, we're building up to Scotland against Poland. The team is out. Gunn, Ralston, Hanley, McKenna, Robertson, Gilmore, McLean, McGinn, McTominay, Christie, Dykes. By the looks of it, not many people buzzing about that team. But let us know how you feel. Give us a call. If you want to talk club football, you can. Some interesting absentees from Rangers Euro squad today, if that tickles your fancy. But let's play this first. You beat the pundit music that already played a minute ago.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, the Scottish Sun.
The key guy is also the mutton pusher.
Wow. Yeah. Things can only get better.
Who is the button pusher in there?
Let's bring in Keith and Jack. It's a duo.
You can't have two.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Not bad. Have you ever played before, either of you?
No, we play every night in the house or in the car on the way to training. So tonight, Jack's been asking to phone in.
Brilliant.
So I promise we'd phone in. So he's keen to give it a go.
What training are you on the way to?
Hamilton Accies.
Oh, gone the Accies.
Oh. What age group?
Under 11.
Under 12. The full team's going to be listening, Jack.
What position do you play, Jack?
Left wing back, full back.
Oh, love it, love
next
it.
Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
Just in case this goes wrong tonight.
This guy's aspiring to be in Charlie Mulgrew's team, isn't he? He's the under
18's manager.
Hold on, I don't think he's inspired. Under 11 to under 18, give the boy time.
He might be brilliant.
He'd be brilliant.
For all we know, you played him up a few levels. Go on, Jack, we've every faith in you, even though this guy. No. See, that's why he never played youth.
Sorry, Jack, I was going with age there. I'm very sorry. I can only apologise on my behalf.
Jack might be 6'6".
Yeah, probably is. I hope he's no good at Beat the Pundit. That's all I'm worried about.
Here's the way it works, guys. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. You take on tails, it will be Gordon DL. So we'll toss the coin. And it is tails. It's Gordon DL against Keith and Jack. So
come chance, on, you two, the keys.
Excellent.
I'll excel in you.
What we'll do is give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. And for you two, it's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep. Perfect.
Right, your time starts now. What was the score last time Scotland played Poland?
One each.
What Glasgow club was founded in 1876?
Marty Thistle.
On what UK TV channel is the Scotland game on tonight?
ITV4.
The Tony Fitzpatrick stand can be found at which stadium?
Submarine.
How many Rangers players are in the Scotland squad?
Four.
Who do the Scotland under-21s play at Tynecastle on Friday?
Lithuania.
Robert Lewandowski currently plays for which team?
Barcelona.
Okay. Right, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us? You ready?
That there?
What's that?
Who was that you were singing?
I don't know. Was that quite serious?
Was that your singing face?
Yeah. I went quite serious. Right, come on, I'm ready for this.
Right, okay. Same set of questions, Gordon DL, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. What was the score the last time Scotland played Poland?
1-0 Scotland.
Which Glasgow club was founded in 1876?
Party Thistle.
On what UK TV channel is the Scotland game being shown
tonight? ITV4.
The Tony Fitzpatrick stand can be found at which stadium?
The Schmeisser.
How many Rangers players are in the Scotland squad?
None.
Who do the Scotland under-21s play at Tynecastle on Friday?
Oh, no, Norway, no idea.
Robert Lewandowski currently plays for which
Barcelona.
Team? Barcelona. Okay. Have you done enough, guys? What do you think?
I think it's, well, maybe one by one, or it's a draw. It's pretty close.
He's not put a loss in there, so you think he's beat you or drawn.
Let's go through them. I tell you what, but obviously, these two are big Scotland fans. More than you, clearly.
No,
forget that. The first question, the last time Scotland played Poland was 1-1.
Yeah. I was going to say 1-0.
Scott
1-0.
Brown scored, didn't he?
No.
No.
This is the mistake. I was hoping you'd make this mistake. The backstory here, Keith and Jack, is we were talking about the game in Poland 10 years ago when Scott Brown scored. We've played since then. At Hampden, Kieran Tierney scored.
Remember, yeah.
I think a big Stephen O'Donnell looping free kick.
Did they say one each?
They're 1-0 up.
Alright, okay, big Scotland time.
Partick Thistle, founded in 1876, Gordon, well done. They got it as well.
No!
I did not know that. No,
I played with Partick, I'm a legend.
You know, it's not the big two, and then you think.
I was thinking Queen's Park.
The Scotland game is on ITV4. You know your TV channels.
Oh, they got
so
it.
Did they.
I'm beat with one here.
The Tony Fitzpatrick stand, St Mirren, both got that. How many Rangers players in the Scotland squad? Souter and Barron.
Are you sure I've not withdrawn?
They didn't get that either, though.
No way.
No, they didn't.
How silly they two.
The Scotland 21s play Spain.
They got that in
the course. No, they didn't.
You're playing red. You said Norway.
What's your last question?
So you're still one behind. Robert Lewandowski.
They've got that.
Plays for Barca.
He's got that.
And they got it. Keith and Jack. Well done.
What was the score?
5-4.
One each.
Jack, how good was that? Oh, he's away. He's hung up. He's down in the champagne in the passenger seat.
That late. 10 years of age. You've been done. Keith and Jack.
Do you know something?
Are they away? Can we hear them, Keith and Jack? No, are they gone? Oh, that's a shame.
Hello.
Oh, they're back.
Well done,
Jack. Are you happy with that?
Go on, Jack.
I'm delighted.
Thank you, Jack. I'm delighted for you. You have no idea what I'm really thinking.
Brilliant. Well, listen,
well done, Jack.
Enjoy training tonight, Jack. You can tell everybody all about it.
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate that.
Good man. There we go.
Listen, big Keith.
That was bad from you.
That wasn't too bad. 4, right? But honestly, on my life, I was going to go 1-1.
I mean, I don't know.
Shooter and Barron. Come on, Gordon. Catch yourself on.
Yeah, it's the Rangers.
He's got to be the worst on here now, surely. Every time I'm here.
I won on Tuesday, mate.
Every time I'm here.
I'm 50-50 during the week. I better play more. I'm non-stop.
You're beat there by Keith and...
Two against one. Two against one.
You've lost a couple. Someone sent me a... And I'm sorry, I don't know who it is. I'm not giving them the creative credit. But you and Simon Donnelly on the other night, you both had zeros previously.
Yeah.
Someone sent me a picture of like the three of us and it said, Dunkin' Donuts. Get it? Very clever.
We need them working here with that creativity.
Yeah, that is absolutely brilliant.
Sorry, I can't remember who it is.
Five.
I need to be better than that.
I could have won that.
Right.
Poor streak.
Okay.
Mine's elsewhere.
I won on Tuesday, mate. You know what I mean? And your big ball face hasn't helped me, let me tell you now. Just sitting there with that stupid face.
Last week you were complaining he's lost too much weight.
I really got the body in that. But he's
my
got
stupid
that,
face.
Not ball face. Deep sitting, looking, shaking your head. I'm trying to concentrate.
I'm working.
Do you know what I mean? You're sitting there with your big red beetroot face looking at me.
Actually, on beetroot faces, I was in the gym this morning early doors. This guy comes over. He was a man mountain. Big, turns out he's a big military guy. He says, "Here, you Mark Wilson?" I said, "Aye." He said, "Here, what's happening with Gordon Dale's skin?"
I said, what do you mean?
I wondered what he meant, and then clearly.
Too many sunbeds.
He said, how orange is he? Is that real? And I said,
I'm no orange. I'm no triangle.
Look at your face in the camera.
That's just.
I said, I think he's a fan of the sunbeds.
Let's get that. Oh, look at that beak, by the way. Let's size
it. How many sunbeds do you go for a week?
One.
Every week?
Every week.
Oh, one a week?
Come on.
Aye. 8 minutes. Boom. Stand there. Here we go.
Pants on or off?
Off. Full off. Go on yourself. Shake it all about.
Stop it. Stop it. Factor 100 for that right now.
Turn round the jail.
Awful. Absolutely. Imagine the door didn't lock and somebody mistakenly went in. The stand up one as well.
Always stand. Always stand. Sweaty Betty when you lie down, it just sweats the back. You're better standing. Full.
Oh, this is awful. Anyway, plunge to wear the sunglasses in you, Dex. Do you?
I have a shot. You know the shots?
No.
Ah, you get a wee cream shot. Helps you. And then you go to the cream.
You're getting a bit of sunbeds here or something else.
You get the oil on. Glasses on. Hair up.
Awful. Absolutely awful. People are eating their dinner and thinking
about that. You.
I bet people are sitting there.
Oh, yeah. Like a roasted ham.
Oh, I'm only kidding. I don't.
Josh is on the line. How are you, Josh?
You alright, fellas? We okay?
Good, thanks. Good. What's your point tonight?
Yes, so I want to talk about the Scotland situation, notably Steve Clarke. I personally believe he deserves a chance to right the wrongs of the Euros campaign for the simple reason that when he took over, you know, like the squad hadn't qualified for a tournament since 1998, and he sort of turned that around with his own ethos, and obviously like developing the players like Sir John McGinn and Scott McTominay, like the staples of this team now. Robertson, Tierney, you know, the likes of these sort of characters, he sort of built the team, hasn't he? So he deserves time to put it right. Like, I understand what people are saying, you know, the style of play needs tweaking maybe, but we actually had a tougher group than people gave us sort of the lack of credit for. Like Switzerland and Germany were two powerhouses of that tournament. Do you know what I mean? Switzerland took England to penalties, so they can't have been that bad a team. Tierney's a huge loss, isn't he? But I'm starting to believe that there's maybe positives contained within that, you know, for a more flexible shape or to maybe go to four at the back. I'm not sure what Mark thinks as a former defender, but do you think that, you know, maybe they could, like moving forward, the four at the back is the way to go now?
Do you think that's here to stay, Mark?
As long as Tierney's injured,
okay,
I think
let's say he's not.
If he's not, I think he'll always stick with the three. Purely because those two are that good.
In a back four, just as the left centre back.
Well, so you're leaving out Andy Robertson.
No.
Oh, so left centre back. Yeah. I think we've tried that before, and I don't think we got the best out of him. I think that the whole purpose of playing Tierney as a left centre back in a three is because he can get forward. Mm. And you know, the modern game, he's got the pace to go out there and defend the wide area, so you don't rely on Robertson that much. If you play him in a four as a left centre back, he's never getting forward. You see him sometimes overlapping Robertson, and they've got that relationship. So I think if he's back fit and the two of them are playing at the peak of their powers, we will revert back to a back three, and purely to get those in, because we're not a country blessed with world-class players in every position. So when we've got two that are really up there, Steve Clarke's found a way of getting them in the team. But by the way, Josh's got a good point. See those boys that Steve Clarke has gave so many caps to. It goes back to my previous point earlier on the show that he's built this group that had very few caps to almost like these veterans, but still at a good age.
Yeah.
Veterans are two tournaments, two qualifications. And then you look at Gilmore, he gave his debut at the right time. He's progressed him and his career's went fine. You can only hope he does that with the others that we're seeing coming into the squad.
See, thinking back to the Euros, I wonder, right, modern football now, we're all obsessed with style of play. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but you know, more and more there's more information out there. People kind of know more about the game. Social media allows you to you know, talk about this sort of thing and share clips and analyse it and all the rest of it. So at a club level, we always talk about style. What's this manager's style? What's that manager's style? See, if you watch the Euros and forget Scotland, do you think any team apart from Spain had a really good style of play?
No.
So are we all looking for something that doesn't fully exist in international football the way it does at club football? Is there something in that? Look at France, look at the players they had. They were rubbish to watch in the Euros. Everybody knows England. Yeah, they got to the final. Did you watch England over the Euros and think, oh yeah, I like that defined style of play? Mm-hmm. Is international football maybe not the place for that?
Football, to me, I don't care what level it is, about winning games.
That's kind of what I mean.
And Spain obviously went on to be very successful.
And to be fair, they did. They had a great style.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Anybody else?
No,
Switzerland, maybe to a certain extent. Nah. Against the Italians who played in the.
Sure. But I mean, we played them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I'm highlighting Switzerland. And they didn't look like they had much of a style against us, but in the other games they did. I get the point you're making that maybe Steve Clark's getting beat by this stick here.
That's the thing. It's not even so much about defending Steve Clark. That wasn't the aim of it. I just wonder about overall. What have we learned, all of us football fans worldwide, from the Euros? It was not a tournament that was like brilliant to watch with all these different styles of play. It just wasn't really like that.
Yeah,
even the good teams. Look at England. Look at France.
Sometimes I just think I'm with Josh. I don't see why we should replace Steve Clark just now, right? The Euros were boring, let's be quite honest with you, and especially the last game. If Tierney's playing it, he'll always go to a three, because in his Tierney and Robertson and his team, the only thing I'd be critical is sometimes I'd like to let the players go and express. I think we've got good players.
Yeah.
Let them go and express themselves.
Do they exist in those areas? You know, see if our best players were our wingers and our striker, would it be easier to do it, you know, with a bit more flair? Because as good as McGinn is, as good as McTominay is, as good as Gilmore is, they're not really like match winners, or, you know what I mean, or played right at the top end of the pitch. We've made McGinn do it to a point. We get Scott McTominay to score some goals. But is there a reality that, you know, all the best teams that let's look at Celtic or whatever domestically, and people talk about the style. Mm. You need the guys at the top end of the pitch to produce that final.
Yeah. You look at you're talking about Celtic, the front three. You know, they can create, they can score, they can do every part of the game. They've got a terrific midfield behind them, of course. But we're not blessed with that. And sometimes we've just got to go with the players that were there. You know, I like the fact that Steve Clark, I know he's never going to play dog, he's not playing goal tonight, I can totally understand all that, but he's starting to introduce different players into the squad with the view of saying, do you know what, if I get the opportunity, I can try the top end of the park, I can get a bit of width up there, I can get wingers that we need, a bit of pace, a bit of, you know, positivity that will go and take full-backs on and be different. I know Steve Clark's got his critic. Every manager in the world's got critics. But I just would like to see him, with the ability that some of our players have got, look, go and play. Mm.
You're one of the rare fans who phones in, Josh, to sort of stick up for Steve Clark, if that's the right phrase. But would you even accept that this campaign needs to start positively?
Yeah, well, the actual calibre of the opposition has increased, but more by design than circumstance. We've actually earned the right to go and play these teams now, so it's a learning curve as much as anything. But yeah, we've got to get the performance right first of all, especially tonight. This probably represents the best opportunity out of all the games to actually get 3 points on the board in front of a Hampden crowd that are quite expectant, aren't they, after what's happened at the Euros. They're sort of baying for blood, some of them, though, aren't they? They're sort of waiting for the team to slip up so that they can say, oh, I was right all along, Clark needs to go. But as far as I'm concerned, the centre-forward in this team has got a bit of a thankless task. Unless we get people like McGinn and McTominay running beyond them and playing up to them with a purpose, rather than like what was happening in the Germany game, for example, just playing the ball up and it's coming straight back at us. We need to get the midfielders around and in support of the centre-forward. That's what I'm looking for tonight, really, to see if we can really penetrate and expose what is really a similarly poor Poland team at this moment in time. Like, they didn't do so well at the Euros themselves. Yes, the point they got was against France, but in the other two games, they offered very little. So let's try and put a marker down tonight. I always use this analogy. Get 3 points nice and early in this campaign and sort of see where we go from there. And then maybe the naysayers might start shutting up a little bit, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a really... I think Josh puts it really well, Mark, about being in this section. You know you're against Europe's elite, and we earned that. We didn't come out of a tombola to play in this section. We were in League C when the Nations League started, promoted to B, promoted to A. There are big teams not in A. England aren't in A anymore. They got relegated. It shows you what it takes to get there. However, to take a little bit away from that, Poland at home is about as gentle a fixture as you can get in that bracket. Still hard, obviously. Reminds me of the conversation we have about Champions League draws and so on.
Yeah.
We're in there with the best teams. Poland at home wouldn't go down as one of like the all-time fearful international fixtures.
I would totally agree with that. I thought Josh put across those points very well there, and everything he said, including the group. You know, you look at Portugal and you look at Croatia. Those are the big hitters of world football in recent years, but Poland are a step below them. However, they have still got very good players. So, as much like the Champions League, mm-hmm. for Celtic or whoever, or Rangers, when they were in there to get a result, their players need to be up there at their peak and the crowd need to be on side. Josh makes a good point about that. If they get a good result, they get off to a good start, then they've every chance.
And still, though, worth bearing, I mean, Robert Lewandowski has started all four of Barcelona's games this season. They've won them all. They're rampant. They're flying. It's still that level. Yeah. I love the big man for everything he's done. We've got League One Lyndon Dykes leading the line, and he's done a great job. But it reminds you, if you're looking for that X factor in certain areas of the pitch, it reminds you what you're up against.
Yeah, world class against, as you say, League One. But if we can get the right service to him, I hope that we just don't go with the traditional, what you call Scotland, punt up the park and hope for the best. If we're going to get the midfield that we've got there with McTominay, Christie, McGinn, getting to McLean, maybe, you know, Gilmore sitting. If we're going to get the ball up and we're going to play a little bit more direct, which I don't really mind if we do, the only thing I would say, you need to get quality balls up to them. There's no point just punting the ball up, losing it, because you're up against international footballers that'll take the ball off you, and then all of a sudden you're on the back foot.
Good time to call. Thank you to Josh. If you give us a shout right now, we'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here, just over 15 minutes away from kickoff at Hampden as the Nations League campaign gets underway. Give us your thoughts on the team that's been picked, or the prospects going forward, or your mumps and moans hanging over from the Euros, because I think that's clearly playing a big part in a lot of this discussion tonight. So whatever you've got for us, give us a call. You can tweet as well. Let me give you a full-time teaser. Steve in Manila, remember him? He sent one in recently, did they not?
Is it Scottish based?
He must have sent a couple.
Steve in Manila?
Steve in Manila.
Oh, right. In Manila? No way, that's even more impressive than being called. Second name called Manila.
I thought that was your second name as well.
Oh, you thought it was like Steven.
He's Manila. In Manila. Right, what's Manila right, famous for?
It's Steve in Manila.
I thought it was Steven. No, Manila. No,
Steven Manila. I'd be a great name, actually.
Yeah.
What's famous for Manila?
I want to hear your answer to this.
Ice cream. Manila ice cream. No idea. No.
Oh, come on. Manila. That's your era.
No, it's not.
Manila.
Ice cream.
Think of all the sporting events that was in Manila.
Oh, come on.
It was a thriller.
Oh, the boxing.
Oh, man.
That's not the teaser tonight. But
what was it?
It's the same place.
The thriller in Manila?
Aye, it was a boxing, wasn't it?
Aye.
Yeah. Was it Cassius Clay?
Why is he pretending he had that like all under control the full time?
I was a bit panicky there.
And he's went for Cassius Clay. He's went for, instead of Muhammad Ali, you've went.
His official name.
His birth name.
That's what he calls him. Pals.
You just call him Cassius. Everybody Cassius. Else calls him Cass. Ali.
CC.
Anyway,
Cassius Clay.
From 2001, since 2001,
oh, sorry.
8 Scotland players have represented their country for the men's team aged 35 or over at the time. So since 2001, it includes 2001, 8 players have played for Scotland men's team aged 35 or over.
Craig Gordon.
He was 41 when he played against Finland
David
in the
Weir.
Summer. David Weir, 40 against Spain, 2010.
Graeme Alexander.
37, well done. Okay, leave it there. No more for now, because you've only got 5 more to get. You've made a good dent in it. 8 Scotland players since 2001 who've played for the team aged 35 or over. Graeme Alexander, Davy Weir and Craig Gordon. The great thing about the internet is you can send emails from Manila. Is that, you understand how this works?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to get in touch, doesn't matter where you are, you send the questions to us and we see if the pundits can come up with the answers full time at Clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from Scott, who's on the line. How are you, Scott?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Not bad. What's on your mind tonight, then? You've listened to the discussion, I'm sure. What are you thinking?
Yes, well, I've listened to the discussion tonight in relation to, obviously, the Scotland national team, how we're playing. And I think everybody's been a bit negative in relation to Steve Clarke. Now, I understand we're looking to change the way we play and all the rest of it, but if it wasn't for Steve Clarke, we wouldn't have probably had the best time of our life. So number one in Germany, and over the last period of time we have in the Euros. I mean, I've travelled all over the world with Scotland and spent tens of thousands of pounds through loads of heartache, the delight in Paris, and seen us fall at the last third of Italy. So, I mean, I think we've got to get realistic. We're a very small nation. We've got not a lot of players to pick from, to be quite honest with you. We're never going to be a Brazil. But I think we all need to kind of, as a nation, get behind the team and just get behind the manager, because really, honestly, I don't think there's anybody else better out there at this point in time to take the team forward. I think what we'll find tonight is having a back four as well. I think we'll probably find the team playing a lot better tonight. I think we'll get a result tonight, which I think is going to be taking the team on, to be quite honest with you. What we've got to remember as well is, obviously, our last campaign, it wasn't as very good, but we had so many injuries, you know, and I think that if it wasn't for the injuries, we would have fully qualified for the group. But sadly, that never happened. But I just think at this point in time, we'll need to get behind the team. And I'd love to see us basically go to the right, put a marker on the team tonight and take the team forward.
I mean, Scott just tells facts in terms of where we were and where we are, Mark. You can't make people hark back to that forever, though. People were really disappointed in the Euros. We were disappointed, obviously, when we were there. One thing's for clear is it has done a lot of damage to Steve Clarke's sort of standing amongst a lot of Scotland fans, but obviously people like Scott still remember the good stuff.
And so we should, because it was so bleak before. Look, Gordon Strachan had a good spell-ish, but still fell at the last hurdle, still failed ultimately. And then Steve Clarke came in and he's turned everything around. So we shouldn't forget that. We should remember where he's took us from and to. But of course, football, Daz says it earlier on, that football is so selective in its memory. And again, I'll just go back to that Hungary game, because the Germany game, we got our press wrong and we got picked apart by world-class players. So there was a few things wrong, but nobody expected that result, to get a result there. Switzerland, I thought we gave it all, and we could have quite easily have won it as well as lost it, and it was a thrilling game. But the Hungary game, Daz touched on it earlier as well, we looked like we had the handbrake on with players, and it looked like the players were restricted in terms of actually going for it in the final third. And fans remember that. So they don't want to see that pragmatic approach when something like qualifying from the group is on the line. That's why these games are so important. He touched on a good point, Scott, about the back four as well. They're going to be so important, the fullbacks, because you're asking totally different from Ralston and Robertson from what we've seen. Playing wing back to fullback is totally different, where Ralston has got the space in front of him. He plays it at his club level, and so does Andy Robertson. And I don't think we see the best Andy Robertson as a wing back, really. So I'm hoping for big things from those two.
Scott,
tonight.
Is there a fair point, though, that people wanted a bit more freshness tonight, wanted to see something a bit new, and it doesn't really feel like that?
Definitely, I completely get that. I think it's just going back to the same old. We're putting Lyndon Dykes up front, chimping balls up the front, and hopefully he can hold the ball up and take the ball forward. But let's be honest, our best striker sitting on the bench, and that's Shankland. Yeah, Dykes is all right for holding the ball up, but really Dykes needs to be playing with somebody alongside him. So if they're going to be playing with four at the back, they're better off playing for a 4-4-2 and having Lyndon Dykes up there with Shankland. I just don't think this one striker up front to me just doesn't work. I mean, have a diamond at the front up there where Christie can play, obviously, at that position, more attacking, that he done with Celtic as well, than with Bournemouth, and have there Shankland and Dykes there, you know, a more direct attack approach. They really need to really start playing a lot more attacking football, quick passing football. But at this point in time, the players that we've got, we're quite limited to that, quite honest with you. But every game that we should be going out there, we should go out with the same emphasis that we did with Spain. If we can go out and tear Spain and make them look amateurish, that's how we should be going out to play every single game. Now, I know heads go down in football players, their heads go down when things are not going right for us, but at the end of the day, you need to go out there and give it 110%. At the end of the day, look at, put the badge on and represent your country, you know.
I think Aaron Hickey played that night against Spain. Mm-hmm. Kieran Tierney played that night against Spain. Callum McGregor is there. So these are the challenges, Gordon. The unfortunate thing about football management is, by the sounds of it, people, they're not willing to cut anyone slack over that. And maybe nor should they, because, you know, football will do that to you. You know, trying to replicate that performance will always probably be the watermark for Scotland.
Yeah, and it's obviously so difficult to do consistently, Gordon. I like, I'm not for Steve Clarke leaving Scotland or whatever. You wonder, right, okay, if you go and sack him tomorrow, who do you get in, right? You'll have the usual suspect. Steve Clarke deserves every right to go forward. If I'm critical, sometimes I do find him a bit negative. But as I keep going back to Hugh saying, a manager's got to be allowed to manage. He knows what he wants. He knows that what keeps him in a job, what loses a job. It's okay for us to sit here and say, look, we want more attacking football. We want more forward players on the pitch. But if that goes wrong, we don't carry the can. Steve Clarke carries the can, and that's the problem. And I think the Scotland fans going along there tonight, they're looking for something different now. They're looking for a bit of excitement. They're looking for a sort of a different way that we play. And I keep going back to, I think he's got to trust his players enough to say, do you know what? I'm just going to let you go and play the way you play with your clubs. As long as we've got a structure that when we lose the ball, how we get into a defensive shape, then when we get it, go and play with a bit of freedom.
It just feels like the margins in certain areas are small, Mark. Scott wants Shankland to play. I've nothing against that, you know, but it's either a guy that's playing in League One in Lyndon Dykes, or a guy that's not scored in the league yet for Hearts, and they are having a really bad season. You know, we're not leaving out outstanding players in place of anyone else. And I see people whinging about Anthony Ralston playing. Anthony Ralston's still relatively young and inexperienced in a Scotland. You know, it's not like he's had 60 caps and you think, right, it's time to try Max Johnson. The centre back, I didn't expect Grant Hanley to play. I thought we would look forwards. But again, if it's Hanley out and Porteous in, do you feel much different? Is that enough to transform you? I don't know. These people would need to tell me.
Well, it's a tough team to pick because of what we've got available to us. You're right, bringing up some of the injuries and some of our better players. So Steve Clarke's picked what he thought resembles something different if it is a back four, which it will be. That resembles something different and try to go about this campaign in a different fashion because of what he's been dealt with injuries. And the players, international football, well know the players are what you've got. You can't go out and sign anybody. People want drastic change, but how do you change? What, bring up the full under 21 squad with no experience? International football is the pinnacle. You're playing against world class players, you know, almost every game, who, if you lose the ball, you don't see it. You know, people wanting, or Scott's saying we should play 4-4-2 with Shankland and Dykes up front. You get absolutely annihilated in the middle of the pitch in international football when you come up against these teams. There'll be gaps everywhere and they'll be easy to play through. So Steve Clarke has been the right man for us in that respect, thinking us through two qualifying campaigns to make us, you know, rigid and tough to play against. It's the other side.
The next bit going forward
that holds him back.
Thank you to Scott. You two quickly in this teaser. 8 Scotland players since 2001 who've played age 35 or over. Graham Alexander, Davy Weir, Craig
Scott
Gordon.
Brown.
Nope.
Kenny's got to be one. Kenny's in it. No.
Darren Fletcher.
No.
Sure.
Okay. I'm sure.
I'll give you that. Mackie.
So one of his sons played for the 8th.
Remember the boy Mackie?
What? He
played wide right.
Oh, Jamie Mackie.
Jamie Mackie.
No.
Oh, what a shout. Jamie Mackie. Who's told you that?
I just come up with that. I was good, wasn't
it? No.
Well, no.
No.
Hurry up.
No, I've got to say Ryan Fraser, but I'm wrong now.
Yeah, anyway, right, we're not far away from kickoff. Of course, Nations League kicking off tonight. Poland at Hamden, away to Portugal. But of course, we'll play these teams at home as well. Portugal and Croatia still to come. You can enjoy hospitality for these games by booking at hamdenpark.co.uk. And for your chance to win 4 hospitality tickets in their exclusive terrace for Scotland against Portugal, head to Clyde1.com. A night out that will be. Hamden Hospitality, unforgettable memories to be made. So get involved there at Clyde1.com, and kickoff is next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, kickoff fast approaching at Hamden. Let's go and speak to Dave Galloway, who's there.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. A terrific atmosphere inside the stadium. I was told earlier a crowd of up to 50,000 could be expected. There's a lot of making up to do, of course, with And the big question is, can our side deliver? They're just going through the national anthems at the moment. The roof is going to come off in a few seconds' time when Flower of Scotland is belted out. But let me just recap the teams for you. Scotland start with Gunn in goals. At the back, it's Ralston, Hanley, McKenna and Robertson. In front of them, Gilmore and McLean. Then McGinn, McTominay and Christie, with Dykes leading the line. In goals for Poland, it's Bulka. Then it's a back three of Bednarek, Davidovic and Kiwior. Midfield, it's a five of Frankowski, Szymanski, Zielinski, Urbanski and Zalewski. Up top, Piatek and Lewandowski. The match referees from Sweden, it's Glenn Nyberg, and on VAR duties from the Netherlands, Dennis Higler.
Well, that's it, the scene is set. And that's one thing, if you like, one sign, Mark Wilson. I wondered if it would be empty. I wondered if fans would bother turning up. I wonder if the apathy had reached that stage. Absolutely not, by the looks and sounds of it.
Yep, good turnout, and that's exactly what Steve Clarke would have wanted to see when he went out, because there has been a lot of doom and gloom surrounding the Euros, but the test is always who turns up. There was a period we got used to empty Hamdens. Now we've got used to close to full Hamdens, and we didn't want to take a step backwards on that, and we haven't tonight.
There is a bit of a compliment in there, Gordon, because we have had, you know, kind of 35, 32, 36,000 for qualifying games, and that looks pretty full for a Nations League game. I don't know, tickets were maybe bought a while ago anyway or whatever, and there's still time for that to dwindle. So Steve Clarke isn't listening to these phone lines just now. He's not on Twitter. There's always going to be a lot of noise, but it still looks like he's got a level of backing there, but he now needs to go and try and produce something.
And well done to everyone that's taking time to go along tonight, Gordon. You know, paid a lot of money just to go and support the team. It's very easy to sit back. It's on TV tonight. But the Tartan Army and the supporters have been out there in their numbers, and it's up to the players now to respond to that. I was surprised with the size of the crowd, but well done to them. It shows you that you're quite rightly what you say. Steve Clarke's still got a lot of backing, and so is the players.
Just listening to the phones, Mark, looking at social media, it does feel like there's a big job to be done to convince people. It looks like people are expecting something really different tonight. And even if Scotland were to get a result, I don't know what is going to be that different. I just don't know. Like I said at the top of the show, this team has been together since Monday. Mm-hmm. It is Thursday night. This notion that this looks totally different from what we've seen before, I think is unrealistic. Whether that is going to be the case going forward or not, fine, but I don't know how possible that is.
It will look different in terms of the shape, of course, that we've touched on, but again, it's come back to what Daz says. How did the players approach it? You know, you see 4-3-3s at club level in different formats. Some play with a three spread across the front, some are two narrow behind a striker. I think it will be that version we'll see tonight. That's why I've seen the fullbacks are so important to get forward. But again, that's instruction from the manager and the coaching team. How high do you get your fullbacks up the pitch? Do you want them to be really attacking and drop a midfielder in to help your centre halves? Those are the wee details that can be changed within a few days and can be walked through on a training pitch. Time will tell. We'll have to watch to see what it looks like. But people are looking for a bit of progression in the forward areas rather than what some callers were just saying, just lump it forward to Dykes and hope he gets a knockdown. I think we're looking for a wee bit more than that, and you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed we get it.
I don't know if he'll what level he would admit to or whatever, Gordon, but you just wonder. Let's say Ben Doak had played five times at the start of this season. Let's say James Forrest hadn't withdrawn from the squad. Maybe there was scope to go with a bit more width. It just doesn't feel like, looking at the players available, that there was much scope to change that in an attacking sense.
No, because the only one player he could have probably left out there is McLean. The rest would play.
Yeah, well, they have to.
Yeah, because they're big players for Scotland. Again, you've got to try and fit them into the system that you're going to try and play. Be interesting to see how it starts here. Dykes obviously up top. You just wonder the shape of the Midland Park, who will play where.
Here, one positive was, though, the Scotland tops when they come out. You're having those white tops, ones.
I quite like that.
I like them. White hoodie. Like it. So if nothing else, were fashionable.
Dress smart, think smart. Ball comes off John McGinn early on, just goes out for a throw-in. Very early stages of the game.
I think it's 4-2-3-1. There you go.
Yeah.
I've already.
So what with McLean and Gilmore?
I think McTominay's got to play middle. I think Christie will play left. McGinn and McLean and Gilmore will be the setters.
Yeah, well, there we are. We are underway at hand. And as we said, a big expectant crowd. I don't know if that surprises you, given the disappointment after the Euros. Good to see guys, Mark, you know, like Billy Gilmore. It does feel like it's very easy to fall into a trap of thinking there's nothing to like about this team anymore. You know, that's obviously not the case. We know we want to be better. We know it was disappointing. But I was looking at, you know, his caps count already. Billy Gilmore there, he's only 23. He's obviously moved to Napoli, exciting. He's up at 33 caps. You know,
that's a good haul, that.
If he can stay in that team, and you can you try and build your team around him for years to come? And, you know, really, you could be looking at kind of record
good
caps.
Good play here, going
like Barcelona here, by the way.
What a brilliant move that is. But Andy Robertson's cross doesn't find anyone. That was excellent.
And there's your problem, because it was brilliant play down one flank, but then McGinn is so far in that you don't have that guy.
What a tackle that is from John McGinn. I'm pretty sure it should have been a Scotland throw, actually. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, did Lyndon Dykes drop in to start that move? So it's hard for him to be the one that then gets on the end of it.
But he's filling positions in the box.
We didn't have enough players in the box. That's the problem. We've got to get players in the box.
It was a nice move.
Great move. Great play. Kenny McLean involved very early in the game as well. Him and Gilmore just sitting there. And obviously McTominay's centre of Dykes, McGinn on the right hand side, and it looks like Christie. So
are you going to go full backs union on us, Mark? Does Andy Robertson have to realise there's no one really there and try and do something else? Should somebody just be there? You always hear that.
Well, I think he'll probably be used to his club side, where he's got bodies busting a gut to get in at the back of that six-yard box.
Sorry, Andy.
Yeah.
Mo Salah was unavailable tonight.
Look, I thought it was a poor ball.
It was, but I think early in the game, he's every right to just put that across. Yeah, I think as the game develops, your dad's right, he's probably better putting his foot in that and coming out the other side. But I think you need to start quick. You need crosses into the box. You need entries into the opposition box early on to get the crowd on side.
Well, it certainly was a good move from Scotland. Just couldn't quite get that final touch. And there we said that. He remains a joy to watch, Mark Billy Gilmore. So even sometimes when it's not a brilliant team performance, just the way he just looks so un-Scottish with the way he plays.
Well, this is a kid that when 10 years ago or whenever, everybody had heard him because of how good he was supposed to be going to be. And not many live up to it. He certainly is. And when was it his debut at Wembley? Was that his debut? You know, he was magnificent in that game. He's very rarely let Scotland down. Did he play before that? But I mean, how he plays the game is what we should be looking to build around. You know, that possession style, you know, his energy off the ball is incredible to find those little spaces, and his quality on it is fantastic.
Yeah, up against a decent team tonight. You can see, you know, Poland, like Scott McTominay, we know he plays at a very good level and he's powerful, but even he, you know, trying to burst away from someone and they matched him. You know, that's the level of athlete and footballer you're up against.
We touched on it earlier, Gordon. They could be out the game for 89 minutes and they've got somebody up top that can just change it quickly for you. A world-class striker and Lewandowski. But I think Scotland have started quite sharp here tonight, well.
Anthony Ralston penalised for a free kick in the middle of the pitch. Ref, maybe... I thought was going to let him off with it, but not to be. Right, Steve asked for this question just before we go. Since 2001, 8 Scotland players have represented the country at age 35 or over for the men's team. So Graham Alexander was 37, Davy Weir 40, and Craig Gordon 41.
What about Stephen Fletcher?
No. David Marshall?
Yes, 36.
Alan McGregor?
Croatia. Yep, 36 against Israel.
Shout.
I just went to goalkeepers, mate.
Yep.
These next ones are tough because they're all 35 as well, so it's not like a major standout age like some of the others.
Gary Taylor's new one, is he?
Nah.
No.
Much more. Two of them in particular are much more, you know, big names for Scotland, lots of caps. Think of that time frame. Right. So the question starts in 2001. If they were playing at age 35 round about 2001, you're looking at being a main part of 98 perhaps.
Yeah, you're.
Am I pointing you in the right direction?
Gary McAllister's not in there, is he?
No.
Big Braveheart.
Yes. Colin Hendry.
Yes, good shout.
And along similar lines.
Braveheart.
Think France 98.
Is Colin Calderwood. Christian Daly. Nope. Has got to be in there.
Mm-mm. Kevin Gallagher.
No. Stay at the back.
Tom Boyd.
Yep.
Tom
Boyd.
He was 35 in 2001, Boyd. Did he?
Yeah, of course.
Did he?
I think he went like.
What a player.
Boyd, yeah.
2001. And the last one is it is tricky, this one.
Position.
He was 35 against France in 2016. And he's a central defender.
Oh, that's got to be.
That's got to be. Could you elaborate?
So that's tracking.
I think Stephen Thompson made his debut in that game against France.
No, 2016.
Oh, 2016, sorry.
So what kind of Strachan era centre backs were there? It wasn't Russell Martin, it wasn't Christoph Berra.
Gordon Greer. Yeah, how'd you like that?
Apple.
Knowledge.
Right, Scotland 0, Poland 0 with 6 minutes gone. A relatively bright start, but nothing major happening. And whatever does transpire, we reflect on it all, good, bad, or somewhere in between tomorrow night from 6. Make sure you join us and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.